which means that the true purpose of sexual intercourse between a man and woman is to initiate and maintain this connection between the two externalized polarities of mind manifest into the divided paradoxical opposites personified in man and woman, thereby acting as a catalyst in the restoration of Adam, Eve, man and woman, in the wholeness of mankind, which is personified as the union making the one flesh. And it is this wholeness of body, mind and spirit that Jesus was making reference to when he stated, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 2:17. Which means that the true and only path into life is to achieve the necessary wholeness and completion that is personified in the original gospel teachings that was totally rejected by the church. See the reality of the original gospels. The Trinity. In the same way that in the first allegorical creation account of Genesis, male and female exist in oneness, and this is also true in the higher reality of the soul of mankind, where the polarities of male and female exist in oneness and perfect balance. T. In the same way that Eve was drawn from the side of Adam, Mother God was drawn from Father God, and while on one level the separation is and continues to be internal, it is this separation of the two polarities that brought forth the mind or logos of God to become the active force of creation. Therefore, to say that God is one is true, while on another level it is paradoxically true that the two polarities of God have the ability to function separately and express themselves united through the Logos or Son of God. Consciousness is the product of the two polarities functioning together through the third force of mind. If the two polarities of Creator God did not exist, then the third force balance of mind, Logos or Son of God, could not exist. And just as important is to understand that because of the divine pattern, the Logos for what is portrayed as the Son of God retains the pattern of XY, male and female. Before we can even begin to understand the relationship of both man and woman, as personified in the linear and intuitive spheres of mind of the tree of life / duality, it is essential to understand the divine pattern of mind often portrayed in the doctrine of the Trinity. Therefore, we must also understand that there is a divine pattern to creation, and this divine pattern is holographically replicated into every level of creation. Man and woman is the embodiment of the divine pattern, and therefore, they are holographically the embodiment of the Trinity, which is manifest in the paradoxical opposite linear and intuitive spheres of mind, which are representative of the outer columns of the tree of life. This fact of reality is personified in the concept of a holographic pattern has been expressed in many sayings and concepts of man's reality that is, as above, so below. What is true of the macrocosm is true of the microcosm, which can also be expressed in the words of Genesis that mankind was created in the image of God. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Gen 1:27. The word logos denotes the mind of God, but mind can only exist as the balance point between the positive and negative opposite polarities of mind. If the male, positive / active, and female, negative / reflective, polarities did not exist in the reality of Creator God, then consciousness could not exist in the mind, logos, of God. Mind and consciousness functions through a flow and presence of electrical energy. In order for an electrical flow to exist, there must be negative and positive polarities. When you use an appliance, the appliance is plugged into a source of electrical energy, positive and negative, that come together separately and flows through the appliance. Mind, or consciousness, can be portrayed as the appliance that is utilizing the positive and negative energy flow to bring about and maintain consciousness. An EEG is a means to test the electrical activity in the brain. An EKG measures the electrical activity in the heart. This electrical energy is a means of testing what can be portrayed as bioenergy or vital life force upon which the consciousness of man is manifest. Without this presence of bioenergy, which is manifest in the interaction of positive / male and negative / female opposite polarities, consciousness or mind cannot exist. And this is true of both man and Creator God. Therefore, electrical activity is the direct result of the flow and interaction of the positive and negative polarities. No energy can exist or flow without the positive and negative polarities. A bird can sit on a power line, a squirrel can run on a power line, and so long as they don't contact the two polarities of power together, they will not be electrocuted. The power of the one polarity, positive/male or negative/female, is always limited by the power of the opposite polarity. If one leg of a circuit, positive/male or negative/female, is unable to support the demands of the circuit, then the limitation of the diminished leg of the circuit inhibits the whole circuit. Why is this important to understand and recognize? In the case of man and woman, if either the man or the woman is inhibited from developing, then their opposite cannot develop beyond that same point. Moreover, the development of both the positive/male and negative/female must evolve together in union with each other. Because of their polarity opposites, the male can easily overpower the female in this world, and if the woman or feminine polarity is constrained and is unable to develop her natural, intuitive/feminine, abilities, then her male partner will be equally inhibited from developing his own, linear/masculine, abilities. What this means is that if the equality of male and female is infringed or limited in any way, then so too is consciousness. If a man inhibits the development of woman, then it is his own development that is equally inhibited. And because the two polarities are intimately connected, any movement in one polarity initiates a like movement in the opposite polarity. In the example of the human brain, the left hemisphere of the brain controls the right side of the body, and the right hemisphere of the brain controls the left side of the body. If only one polarity of mind is developed at the expense of the opposite polarity, linear versus intuitive, then the whole of the mind is inhibited from developing. And when rightly understood, this lack of development has many cultural facets. While a woman's thinking and abilities of mind are opposite to that of a man, if a woman is artificially programmed to think in a male/linear framework of mind, then her feminine/intuitive natural abilities are atrophied and cannot develop beyond a very superficial level. As a man or woman, the positive and negative energy/voltage flow originates with our higher soul self, which is the source of our mind and being. In the case of the Logos, that is, the mind of God, the power is the balance between the positive polarity of Father God and the negative polarity of Mother God. One cannot exist without its opposite, and it is impossible to be a father without a mother or a son/daughter without the interaction of the two. That this world is a realm of allegorical symbols impressed into the forms of matter is why it is written, Jesus said, "Recognize what is in your sight, and that which is hidden from you will become plain to you." Gospel of Thomas. We have often heard the adage to know thyself, but what does it mean? What is the self that we must discover and know? Our soul or true self exists in a 12-dimensional reality. And it is for this reason that this realm in which we are presently dwelling is portrayed in the Gospels as the outer darkness of mind and being. See outer darkness, which in its parallel portrayal of the analogy of Plato's cave. What we perceive with our physical senses is portrayed as shadow images projected into this world by an unseen higher reality. Why is what we perceive with our physical senses portrayed as shadow images? Because the higher 12-dimensional source cannot manifest in this 3-dimensional realm, so what we perceive is an allegorical image of the unseen source that is projected into this realm. And what this means is that there is nothing but mind and all the forms of nature, including our own physical bodies, are all 3-dimensional allegorical images of a higher reality that cannot be fully manifest in this realm. This reality is confirmed in the words attributed to Paul in the book of Acts, where he explained, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Acts 17:26-28 in KJ. Thus, Paul's words that, "for we are also his offspring," and the reality that, "for in him we live and move and have our being," must be understood that what is being portrayed in the present environment of the world in which we are presently dwelling. Carnal man can only perceive the 3-dimensional allegorical images and in his natural, organic state of mind, is incapable of perceiving or understanding the source of the images he sees with his physical senses. Therefore, organic man has a very limited, and incomplete perceptive understanding of not only his true 12-dimensional self, but also this world and God, and an acknowledgement of his inability to perceive man's true higher reality. Paul portrays mankind as too carnal to comprehend his own higher soul reality, that is, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. 1 Cor 3:1-3 NKJ, stating to the body of confirmed and baptized believers who he stated had received all truth and knowledge pertaining to the elementary traditions of Christ, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Cor 2:14 NKJ, in his very limited and incomplete perception of self and this world. Carnal man envisions God as a being that is separate from himself, perceptible to the senses, that can be communicated with in the manner that people communicate with each other. Yet, the vision of the poets that Paul quotes above is actually known as pantheism, that is, the idea that we not only dwell in the body-mind of God, but that all things are actually made up of part of God's body. This connection is documented in the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary for this verse where it is written, this is the first half of the fifth line, word for word, of an astronomical poem of Aratus, a Greek countryman of the apostles and his predecessor by about 3 centuries. It is found also, nearly as here, in a religious hymn of Clents of Troas, a contemporary of Aratus. That, as our speaker hints, the same sentiment is to be found in other Greek poets. They meant it, doubtless, in a pantheistic sense. The soul or true self of mankind is a being of light. See, and while the soul of each person is the balance of male and female opposites, because the opposite polarities, positive/negative, are contained within the soul. The soul exists in its natural state as a being of light. See. But this is not the case in this three-dimensional world of duality where there is a division and separation of male and female. Why is there a separation of male and female in this realm? There is nothing but mind and consciousness, and all consciousness is the expression of the two polarities of positive/male and negative/female. Our soul or true self cannot evolve and grow, because the soul exists in a 12-dimensional realm of souls where the male/female polarities are self-contained, existing in a state of oneness, manifesting the soul in our true form as a being of light. In order to evolve and grow, the male/female polarities must be able to interact and therefore develop through the experiences of this interaction of opposites. This realm, which can be portrayed as God's divine schoolhouse, is a three-dimensional realm where the opposite polarities of male and female are separated, and while each man or woman possesses a consciousness related to their gender, the fruit of their interaction is manifest in the third force balance of higher mind and consciousness that is manifest in what has been portrayed as a morphic field. See process of birth within the tree of life and morphic field. And this morphic field that a unified man and woman have the power of creating creates an atmosphere which immerses the male/female opposites into what has been portrayed as one flesh. It is not that the flesh of the man and woman becomes physically joined, but rather, the man and woman have the innate ability to create a personal atmosphere of mind, manifest an etheric field that connects the two gender polarities together. Thus, while in the physical the two polarities of male and female will appear to be separate, their unity is manifest in an unseen morphic field that manifests and immerses the two polarities in their own atmosphere of higher mind. And in the same way that the soul is a being of light, because the polarities of male and female exist in a state of balanced wholeness, the morphic field that creates a mental atmosphere which immerses their physical form has the ability to make the man and woman complete and one flesh. The soul evolves as greater light is manifest. The light of the soul is dependent upon the evolution of the male and female polarities within the soul. But since the male and female opposite polarities can't interact and gain experiential knowledge in the higher 12-dimensional realm of souls, the polarities of male and female must be projected into a realm such as this world, where they can interact under the illusion of separation. Therefore, The evolution of the soul is dependent upon the balanced development of its opposites, the male and female, opposite outer columns of the tree of life, which when acting independently is portrayed as the tree of duality, which is necessary to merge the upper heavenly and lower earthly kingdoms as patterned in the diagram on the right, all of which must be manifest in the center, love sphere, in the pattern of the tree of life at the right. In the same way that Eve was drawn from Adam, what is personified as the earthly kingdom was drawn from the heavenly kingdom. Thus the heavenly is male in relation to the earthly female, and they are connected through the outer male/female columns of duality, tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the center is the third force balance of the tree of life. But even more important is the reality that the light and evolution of the upper heavenly kingdom is limited to the evolution and oneness with the opposite polarity in the lower earthly kingdom. And wholeness can only be accomplished when the seven spiritual centers and the 12 spheres of mind become manifest in the center, that is, the love sphere, and this is the love and wholeness that Jesus personified in the gospel. On a higher soul level of being, the substance of soul light is the result of the manifest balance of the 12 spheres of mind as patterned in the tree of life. Because of the holographic pattern of creation where the pattern of the whole is replicated into all its parts. This same divine pattern exists within us, but because we exist as a fragment of the soul. The 12 spheres of mind within us is not the same as the mind of the soul. In order to evolve and grow the light, the soul must project itself into this three-dimensional realm through soul-generated personalities as either a male or female. And in the course of these lives, the soul begins to evolve and develop through the interaction with the opposite gender, in conjunction with the interaction of the heavenly and earthly natures. Because few men and women understand that their own development of mind and spirit is totally dependent upon their interaction with their opposite gender. Soul evolution is at a snail's pace. Marriages and unions between men and women are usually on the basis of sexual and emotional needs and appetites. Whereas, the few who actually understand the cosmology of mind and being and how their own development is contingent upon the development of an interaction with their spouse are the few who are able to literally supercharge their development. A man must assist his wife in developing her feminine intuitive abilities that often seem alien to his own linear male abilities. He must create an environment in which his wife not only feels free to provide her intuitive insights, but these insights must be valued and incorporated into her husband's own understanding. The woman must understand that her intuitive insights often do not make linear sense. Her strength is in her intuitive insights that are not necessarily connected along the linear line of her husband's reasoning. But all true mental development beyond the organic animal soul level of consciousness and spiritual growth and development is all contingent upon the evolutionary steps and levels the man and woman must achieve together. Those men and women who don't understand the cosmology of mind and being and therefore fail to understand their gender role and strengths often must incarnate as man or woman in linear succession to slowly develop one, male or female, side of the mental equation at a time. Often development of the male polarity must be followed by an incarnation as a woman that attempts to balance the previous incarnation. Sometimes the law is expressed in the words, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Gal 6:7 in KJ means that when a man or woman abuses their opposite gender, they are born into that gender to experience their own negative actions, often portrayed as negative karma. But those who positively embrace and develop their husband or wife inherit the positive attributes of their past male/female relationship. The three-dimensional condition of male and female duality, division and separation is expressed in the Gospel of Philip in the words, "When Eve was still with Adam, death did not exist. When she was separated from him, death came into being. If he enters again and attains his former self, death will be no more." What is being personified in the foregoing words? There are two creation accounts in the book of Genesis that has perpetually confused Bible students since they first opened the scriptures. See the laws of the two creation accounts and how they intimately affect all of mankind. In the first allegorical creation account in Genesis, it is stated that mankind was created in the image of God. Male and female, he created them, and yet the separation of man and woman does not take place until the second chapter or creation account of Genesis, indicating that when mankind was originally created in the image of God, that male and female were at one, in what must be expressed as Adam-Eve. Adam-Eve equal mankind in the whole of self, which means that male and female only in their united condition represents man or mankind. Therefore, not only is the feminine woman polarity of mankind as much man as is the male polarity, but neither man or woman in their divided state constitute mankind and cannot represent or embody their soul or true self, which is in accord with the divine pattern of male-female and the third force balance of divine mind. Moreover, this also indicates that Creator God is in fact Mother-Father God, with both polarities of male and female are at one in wholeness. Therefore, from the perspective of the Trinity, male and female at their source exist in an undivided state and have been expressed in the terms Mother-Father God. If God created mankind in his own image, in the embodied form of male-female existing in a state of oneness, that is, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them, then in the divine mind as portrayed in the doctrine of the Trinity, what is portrayed in the undivided state is the oneness of Mother/Father God. Thus, what is therefore true of God is also true of the soul, and also true of man, with the exception that at this lower level of creation, male and female appear to be in a divided state, and it is the divided thoughts and impressions of divided male and female that allegorically represents the forbidden fruit of the tree of duality, aka knowledge of good and evil. Moreover, it is this divided state that has disconnected us from both our soul and true self, and also our heavenly father/mother, death being a condition of our divided natures, as stated in the Gospel of Philip. When Eve was still with Adam, death did not exist. When she was separated from him, death came into being. If he enters again and attains his former self, death will be no more. The original state of oneness is also expressed in the words, "If he enters again and attains his former self, death will be no more." It does not say that if what is personified as Adam and Eve attains their former state, but rather, if he enters again and attains his former self, meaning that the term mankind is representative of that state and condition where man exists as Adam-Eve, with man and woman portrayed as equal halves of one whole. And this is in fact exactly what is portrayed in the words of the Gospel of Thomas, saying 22. Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male, nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." When you create that restored condition within yourself where you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male, nor the female female, then you have overcome the condition of death brought about by the eating of the tree of duality, as personified in the words, "If he enters again and attains his former self, death will be no more." Which is the parallel words of the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus said to them, "Only then will you enter the kingdom. It is impossible for you to enter the kingdom until which time you have been restored to the original condition of male-female, of which condition Jesus stated, 'He that is whole need not a physician,' Matt 9:12. Wholeness indicating the unity of male and female into their original form of male-female, see entering the kingdom of man. In the same way that every cell of the body has the same DNA imprint, so too does every aspect of creation have the spiritual DNA of Creator God. Which provokes the question, why is understanding the Trinity and the divine pattern that is holographically imprinted into all that exists in creation important? When you understand the pattern, only then are you in a position to apply this knowledge to every level of mind and being, both your own and all that you perceive and observe in the outer world. Which further raises the question, why is it important to understand the pattern of mind? Because when rightly understood, there is nothing but mind, and all that exists exists because God has thought it and is thinking it into existence. And while the most enlightened of mystics have understood this principle, it is only now that modern science has begun to confirm these great truths. Quoting from The Illusion of the Forms of Matter, in his 1951 textbook on quantum theory, Baum offered some interesting speculations on the analogies between quantum processes and thought processes, thus carrying further the celebrated statement made by the astronomer James Jeans two decades earlier. Today, there is a wide measure of agreement that the stream of knowledge is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine. And the statement by astronomer Arthur Eddington, "The stuff of the universe is mind stuff." Max Planck, who is considered the founder of quantum theory, stated, "As a man who has devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you as a result of my research about atoms this much, there is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter." More recently, cyberneticist David Foster described an intelligent universe whose apparent concreteness is generated by cosmic data from an unknowable, organized source. The reality of the holographic theory says that our brains mathematically construct hard reality by interpreting frequencies from a dimension transcending time and space. The brain is a hologram, interpreting a holographic universe. Before we can begin to understand both mind and self, we must first understand the very fabric and pattern of mind that is founded upon what has been portrayed as the Trinity. Mind is the product or offspring of the two polarities of creation, male/positive and female/negative, brought together. Holographically, both the male/positive and female/negative polarities are themselves imbued with the same pattern, and therefore have a consciousness containing the two polarities within themselves. But because of the segregation of the polarities on a lower level of creation, the consciousness of the man or woman is limited. In the same way that you can't see the mind and consciousness of a man or woman, neither can you see or observe the mind and consciousness of a man and woman who have been joined through a morphic field together as one flesh. With your physical eyes and senses, you can't see the morphic field that a man and woman create through their union, but this morphic field exists as a personal atmosphere that immerses the man and woman and enables them to mentally exist on a higher plane than those who remain three-dimensionally earthbound. Moreover, it is impossible for those who remain earthbound in their divided male or female projected three-dimensional reality to perceive or comprehend what the man and woman who have been immersed in the atmosphere of their self-contained morphic field to see and comprehend. Paul portrays the three-dimensional divided man or woman as being of an animal soul level of organic natural consciousness, see animal soul. And it is therefore impossible for organic man to comprehend not only his own higher soul reality, but also God. While everyone reading this article is using some sort of computer, few are able to understand that all computer languages are drawn from the interaction of positive and negative, which in computer language is represented as oneness, ones, and zero s, zeros, and the result of the interaction of oneness and zero s being portrayed in the application of the equation as the third force balance, or the product, offspring, of the positive and negative equations. What this means is that male as personified in the terms positive/active/one is representative of one-third of the equation. Female is personified in the terms negative/zero/reflective is representative of another one-third of the equation, with the most important aspect of the equation being represented in their offspring, where the two become one flesh, which is the third force balance. What this also means is that men, males, are naturally imbued with an active linear logic framework of mind, and that women, who are their paradoxical opposite, is naturally imbued with a reflective negative intuitive framework of mind and the union or third force balance, offspring of the two polarities in the countless forms of creation, must be understood as existing in what is portrayed in the above as the morphic field that immersed the man/woman, husband/wife, in their own personal atmosphere, see foundation, with the offspring, child, being the physical representation of the divine pattern in their lives, which also means that it is the interaction of the male linear logic with the female reflective intuitive that is the building mental blocks, that is the very foundation and framework of mind without which the person will remain ignorantly detached and disenfranchised from the indwelling logos, mind of God. And this framework of the reality of mind is holographically replicated into every aspect of creation in the same way that all electricity is positive and negative and all computer language is one and zero, all existing in different configurations. mind, when rightly understood, is in accord with the same pattern. For every action, positive/1, active principle, there is a reflective reaction, negative/0, and mind is the product of the interaction and balance of the two. From the perspective of Creator God and the doctrine of the Trinity, the third force balance in the equation of Mother Father God is the Logosike, the mind of God, and the Son of God. Why is the Logos portrayed as the Son of God? Because it is the balance or offspring of the interaction of the positive, Father, and reflective, Mother, realities of God. Why is the Logos portrayed as the Son of God, that is, the male polarity? Because the male retains the original pattern of XY, or active/reflective, whereas the female is reflective and genetically XX, double reflective. And this is true not only of God, but also of man, with mind being the third force balance of man's physical, female, and spiritual, male, natures. With the image at the right representative of when the male and female is restored to the original condition of male-female, Adam-Eve, man-woman, which enables such a restored being to be nourished by the fruit of the tree of life, that is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Rev 2:7. The original followers and disciples of the historical man Jesus did not believe that he was God incarnate as the Romans did, but rather that Jesus was a holy man who fulfilled the laws within himself and became at one with the indwelling Logos, mind of God. These were the people who walked and talked with him daily, who were of the position that Jesus attained, supernatural union of a man and God. In their eyes, Jesus of Nazareth was a mere mortal, the legitimate son of Joseph and Mary, but he was the best and wisest of the human race, selected as the worthy instrument to restore upon earth the worship of the true and supreme deity. When he was baptized in the Jordan, the Christ, the first of the eons, the Son of God himself, descended on Jesus in the form of a dove to inhabit his mind and direct his actions during the allotted period of his ministry, Gibbon, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire, V4, page 366. The 3rd century author and church authority Hippolytus makes reference to the original 1st century disciples of Jesus, who were Ebionite Nazarenes, and writes that it was their position that the man Jesus was justified by fulfilling the law. He was the Christ of God, since not one of the rest of mankind had observed the law completely. Had anyone else fulfilled the commandments of the law, he would have been the Christ. Yes. They maintained that when any of the other lost prodigal sons thus fulfill the law, they are able to become Christs. For they assert that our Lord himself was a man in like sense with all humanity. Hippolytus, Refut. Am. Her. 7. 34. When the book of Revelation declares, to him who overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, reference is being made to those who overcome their duality of male and female, heaven and earth, and are then able to be nourished by the divine manna or sacred knowledge of the kingdom. Further, this reality is expressed in the Revelation, where it is stated that, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Rev 2:7.